And we are live.
Welcome back, beautiful and amazing human beings, to the We Are Changed Sunday News Recap Show that we still yet don't have a name for. Today is July 1st, 2018, 7 p.m. Eastern, and we will be live for the next hour. So feel free to share this video with your friends and family members. And of course, we are live on multiple broadcasts and podcasts, but we will be engaging with you guys, of course, mainly on YouTube, and Super Chats, of course, go first. Now, in this live broadcast, we are going to be talking about, of course, the two main topics that everyone's talking about this week, the looming Civil War and immigration. And after that, we, of course, are going to go after the most important stories that happen each day of the week. And joining me today, of course, is Jason Burmis in upstate New York. Jason, you're looking a little bit more sweaty than usual there.
Well, I got to tell you, Luke, it is a hot one in upstate New York. I know you're down in the city. It's over 100 degrees there. It's 98 here. And AC is not cheap, my friend. It is not a cheap thing. So we're going to just try to keep it as cool as we can in this broadcast. But it doesn't seem like people are keeping their cool on the ground, Luke.
Oh, no, definitely not. I'm already looking at the comments. People are already saying Pinocchio Luke, so welcome to all the fabulous people. I'm going to be looking at the comment section very closely and engaging with you guys. But yeah, I just landed in New York from London. I had a red eye, came here in the morning, and it's hot as donkey balls. It's nastier than Henry Kissinger's basement here in New York City. Definitely not nice, and it kind of does segue into the stories that we're going to be talking about today. And of course, the main one that we're seeing a lot of social media talk about, and of course a lot of mainstream media push about, is of course immigration. Now, I was just in London a few hours ago. I turned on the news yesterday in London. First thing that people in England are discussing are the protests here in the United States for immigration. I'm on the train to the airport. What are they playing? A protest for immigration. And yes, there was a major protest yesterday. Susan Sarandon got arrested. There's a whole plethora of demands from a lot of people. A lot of people are calling to abolish ICE. A lot of people are calling for removing the borders. There's a whole spectrum of different people coming out who came out to the streets yesterday. And the mainstream media is promoting it, which should make people question if you're doing anything rebellious, why would the establishment be promoting you? And of course, the topic of immigration is a very divisive one. It's a very hard topic to get into because there's so many different sides and there's so many different facets. And I definitely, Jason, from my personal opinion, don't think either the left or the right have it completely figured out. And it's really hard to make a stance on either of those issues.
I agree with you, Luke. You know, it seems like the left wants, you know, complete open borders. I don't think there are people on the right that's a wrong criticism of. And then on the right, there are people that want no immigration whatsoever. And there has to be a happy medium. If you've been in this country 5, 10 years, you're paying taxes, you have a job, now is the time that we reform things and give them a quick path to citizenship. But at the same time, Luke, you know, I know we have different opinions. We still have to enforce laws and we have to have tighter immigration. And the bottom line is, you know, we were talking about this before, one of my buddies I grew up with did 4 years with ICE in LA in the gangs unit. And he's telling me some very different stories. People don't realize that these people are actually fighting crime. It's not like they're waiting for babies at the border to separate families. That's not what these people are signing up for, Luke.
Well, there's also U.S. consulates all over inside of Mexico that people do need to be aware of. It's not just the U.S. border that people could help seek asylum for. But to me, the issue gets a little bit more complex, but a little bit more clear when you look at how people use immigration to their benefit. And it usually benefits the very powerful, and it usually benefits the corporations and also the democratic establishment. Because if we look at immigration from an honest point of view, when you're importing migrants who are undocumented into the United States, corporations take advantage of them. You pretty much have slave labor with people working for pennies on the dollar with no job protections being exploited by mass corporations. And then you also have a big voting bloc that will potentially come in and, of course, support usually left-wing tactics. So the establishment is benefited. And I think this is why we're seeing the mainstream media kind of promote these protests, because the mainstream media doesn't really promote anything that's really anti-establishment. If you look at the major anti-war movements, the major anti-war protests, even all the way back in 2003 when it came to the Iraq war, the mainstream media was mainly silent on that, and they were firing anchors for even being anti-war. We even saw this new up-and-coming 28-year-old Democratic Socialist who recently won in a primary election here in New York City against an establishment Democrat who wasn't better than her. It was pretty much the same, you know, establishment bullcrap, but she actually took off the anti-war stance from her website, you know, shortly after winning the primary. And she's soon to be a major congressional figure in the United States. So to me, it's a very complex issue, because at the same time as we bring up those issues, we're not living in a beautiful, perfect world. You know, taxation is still theft. Taxation is not voluntary. We have to understand that governments are pretty much cartels. They're pretty much the mafia. And in a perfect utopian world, there wouldn't be any borders or imaginary lines or government enforcing that. But at the same time, human rights should always trump governments, because we have to see whose interests are being served here. And this is the bigger issue that I think people need to talk about. And it's a very complex one that doesn't really have a clear-cut answer. That's my stance on it, which is very convoluted, which again is all over the place. And to me, both sides are wrong.
See, I don't think it's that convoluted, Luke. I think you're absolutely correct when you talk about how the media is hyping these protests when they wouldn't talk about the anti-war protests that went on the week of the initial bombings in Iraq. I remember System of a Down did a video called Boom, where they highlighted these protests and the media was completely silent. To Michael Moore's credit, he, you know, was part of that. He directed that video, I believe. He put that information out there. But then you get to 9/11 Truth, and you get to the 5th year anniversary of the attacks, and we had so many people down there, and the media refused to cover it. You had to go to the live C-SPAN feed, and when you did see it on Glenn Beck, back when he was working for CNN, you know, they said, 100 or so protesters. Meanwhile, we had thousands there, Luke. And, you know, into this first story, these quote-unquote riots, if you will, in Portland, my man. Think about it.
Before we go into all that, because there's also an important thing that happened just a few days ago with the recent Supreme Court upholding Trump's travel ban, which some in the media actually call the Muslim ban. That's a whole even convoluted term that doesn't really have much factual basis on. But, you know, a lot of right wingers were celebrating that the Supreme Court uplifted this, supported this travel ban that Donald Trump, originally wanted passed. But people have to understand here, a lot of times it's not left and right. It's establishment versus anti-establishment. And when you look at the travel ban, even though a lot of right wingers were celebrating, 93% of the countries that were responsible for terrorism in the United States were not included in that travel ban. And right wingers were saying, yeah, this is great. This is going to stop terrorism. No, it absolutely makes no sense. And if you look at the countries that were banned, they were on the same kind of trajectory and the same kind of suggestions that Barack Obama was pushing through when it comes to their bigger geopolitical foreign policy that the United States has been pushing through against the countries that were listed on there. So no mention of Saudi Arabia, of course, colluding with Saudi Arabia. So this is how the issue is convoluted, because people make it left and right, but really it's establishment versus anti-establishment, and no one is winning here. Everyone is clearly losing, while a lot of people on the top benefit from us squabbling about these side issues instead of the issues that actually matter.
Yeah, and if you look at just three of those nations on the quote-unquote travel ban, Luke, let's look at Yemen, let's look at Somalia, and look at Syria. Those are countries we have direct military action against. And if you look at that Syria situation, we wouldn't let their refugees come here. We turned away over 3,000 of those refugees after we decided, you know what, it's a good idea to send the CIA in there and start picking out bombing targets. We won't have boots on the ground. Remember, that was the big debate back then. you know, back in 2012 to 2014, we need some boots on the ground in Syria. There was never any debate that missiles work, okay? And now those people aren't allowed to come here to seek refuge at all or visit. It's insanity. And you had other countries. Hey, we're supposed to be showing goodwill towards North Korea. We have with the war games. But I see the media trying to hype that they're not getting rid of their nuclear program and their citizens can't come here. Why not? Shouldn't we have some diplomacy? So, you know, a lot of people are surprised when guys like me and you are against the travel ban. But when you look at it, it's extremely, extremely biased towards U.S. foreign policy and military intervention.
Well, I think even going into that direction for or against this playing into their games, when really we're all being played here. It's divide and conquer, and they just want to keep us fighting each other by having one particular stance. And you know, you may particularly have that stance, but I even want to back away from that and not have that stance because when we do engage in their kind of verbal traps that they have against us, we always end up fighting each other except for the true enemy, which is the establishment. And then they divide and conquer us with, you know, skin color, nationality, sexual identity, religion, language, professions, class, social customs, political identity, whatever it is, they use it very effectively to have a squabble over issues. And that is more clear, especially with the dialogue that has been heating up this week about the supposed civil war that a lot of people are talking about. And that crescendo of that civil war talk actually happened this past Saturday, where we saw Portland police declare a riot after right-wingers and left-wingers clashed in Portland. And the videos coming out of there are just absolutely insane. And again, this whole divide and conquer scheme works in the benefit of the state, because then they have a right to squash down on protest, squash down on different people, get bigger military budgets, as we're seeing DHS government officials using less lethal munitions on protesters in Portland. And of course, we saw the left versus the right in their ugliest, where we saw Antifa and members of the right attack each other and fight in the streets of Portland. Now, the videos that I've been seeing clearly shows a lot of the left-wingers, a lot of the Antifa trying to antagonize the group that was there that got a permit that the police revoked, throwing eggs at them, throwing garbage at them, throwing fireworks at them, to the point where the right responded. The right actually had less numbers in Portland than the left did, but from all the compilations and all the video fights, it looks like people from the right definitely got the better hand here against the leftists, as we're seeing just incredible video of an Antifa member with a metal pipe trying to hit some of the right wingers. And one right winger stopping him and just knocking him right out. Me and my friend were looking at the video footage, and we were trying to see if his head actually hit the concrete, if he actually may have some traumatic brain injury. Maybe he does, just for even being there and do the thing. Maybe everyone there has traumatic brain injuries. But, you know, this is very similar to what we saw in Berkeley when I was there covering the kind of face-off, the kind of street confrontations that we're seeing there. But obviously, a lot of the left-wingers, let's call it honestly here, antagonized. There was a big fight, and the videos are just utterly insane coming out of Portland.
Yeah, don't swing a pipe at somebody unless there's a possibility that you're going to get knocked out. First of all, don't swing a pipe at somebody, okay? The only reason you should be swinging a pipe at somebody is if someone breaks into your home or you're defending your family or property or self, okay? When I see videos like this and these people... First of all, most of them are in the same outfit, Luke. That's the craziest thing. They're in the all-black outfit.
They have some creative outfits. They have the Keck outfit, and they're very elaborate.
I mean, those are not the fighters, though. Those are the guys on the thing. You know, they're like the guy we
saw. Those are the cheerleaders.
Exactly. The guys that think that they're going to be all tough and ready to go, you guys are wearing the same outfit. You know what's tough to me, Luke? I'll tell you what's tough. Showing your face and having a discussion with somebody that you disagree with and making it civil. Try to have a starting point. What's not tough is dressed in full black with phone books taped to your body with a metal pipe and bear mace and going after another human being. There's nothing tough about that. And, you know, a lot of this kind of reminded me of what happened to you a little bit over a year ago now, where you were attacked by the Black Bloc, they love to wear the same outfit. And it's a bunch of guys that are going to remain anonymous and try to impose force on you. When is that okay?
Never. and I think the videos speak for themselves, and people can make up their own minds who they think is right or wrong. But utterly, it's stupid what's happening here. It is entertaining. It is getting a lot of people's attention. But of course, it's hyping up this whole talk of civil war is coming. I think it's an important topic to discuss because obviously it's a very hyperbolic topic. Obviously, we saw from the horrible events that happened at a local newspaper this Friday that people are just waiting to blame other people for just tragedies that happen in the United States. We saw people automatically go online and blame whether it was Milo Yiannopoulos for using hyperbolic comments with journalists, whether it was Maxine Waters who got too excited and went all crazy during a protest. The civility is definitely at a low point, but personally, I don't think we're at a civil war. If you look at the definition of a civil war, it's a war between citizens of the same country. I don't think we're at a war yet. I don't think we will get to a war. I think we're going to have, you know, scattered clashes, and I think those are going to pick up sometime in September and October, from my understanding of it. It's too hot. It's too hot to do anything. The heat's going to calm a lot of people down as well and keep people out of the streets. I covered a lot of civil unrest all over the United States, whether it was Ferguson, whether it was Baltimore, whether it was Berkeley. I covered a lot of international civil unrest where Molotov cocktails were flying at police officers in France. I was there during Hamburg G20 where I was being hunted by Antifa and had to make an escape from Hamburg, Germany. I was there in Greece where there was extreme violent protest, where people actually die on the street protesting there, where just literally there's hundreds of people with whatever faction they're from running around with baseball bats and motorcycle helmets, beating the crap out of each other, mostly concentrating on the police officers there. I, you know, from doing this for over like 10 years, being at all these civil unrest areas, I kind of got this like nook. I kind of got this like feeling wherever I'm at a protest, I could see and know when things are about to escalate. I could see when the next potential fight will be, when the next potential conflict, when the police are going to come in, just by the movements, just by the energy, just by the scene there. So that's why whenever you watch We Are Change videos, whenever we're at one of these protests, I'm always there, whether it's Moldylocks getting punched or just the exact scene where the flashbang goes off. I could read these situations very well, and from my own personal opinion, with the factors of climate, with the factors of what I'm seeing here, I do not see a civil war happening anytime soon. I think we still have a long ways to go there. I know some experts in The New Yorker claimed that it was a 65% chance that in the next 5 to 10 years, the United States will go through a civil war, but we're also seeing a lot of hyperbolic comments from a lot of idiots out there, bipartisan idiots, who are trying to build this up to foment more fear in order to galvanize more control. So I don't agree with those statements. I personally, from my experiences, from everything I've been through, don't think a civil war will happen. I'm sorry to let everyone down. I know everyone's looking for it. I know everyone's either putting on their face mask or drawing up their next Keck shield. But ultimately, I still believe that we're at a calmer situation than a lot of the people who are very hyperbolic, who are very partisan, want you to understand. And a lot of these people, whether willingly or unwittingly, are doing this and are doing this from a motivation of just total utter fear. And that's not the frequency that I choose to resonate with. That's not the type of emotional energy that I choose to engage with. I'm still out there. Whenever there's a protest, whenever there's anything, I'll be on the front lines. I'm not afraid of anything, even though I went through really horrible stuff before, whether from protesters or police officers. But again, I don't see it happening. Just my own personal opinion. What do you think, Jason?
You're 100% correct. There is no civil war. Even this quote-unquote Portland riot, you had 100, maybe 150 protesters on the right side, and you had 100 maybe a little bit more on the left side. Now, the media is taking these very small altercations and trying to blow them up. And, you know, I think that we've had a lot more situations where this country was divided and divisive, and the media just wasn't reporting on it. But now, with this administration in, and the fact that, you know, they want a foothold in the conversation. After all, you look at Bilderberg, they're losing the battle. Fake news is the issue. They no longer control the narrative. And right now, I think what you're seeing, Luke, is them grasping at straws to, like you said, try to foment this type of civil war that isn't happening. In other words, if you don't agree with, you know, blanket legalization of all citizens, if you don't agree with ICE, you know, being gone, if you don't agree with transgender bathrooms in your five-year-old school, you're the enemy, and we're going to make sure that America knows that this is the upcoming civil war against you, the bigot. You're a bigot. You're not allowed to have those views. And I don't think that's correct at all. I think that, again, if these people weren't dressed up in clown outfits, hitting each other with pipes and throwing wooden shields at one another, Luke, and they stopped for a second and they had a conversation with one another, they might find they have a little bit more in common than they thought.
Yeah, the police don't care. The police are arresting both of them. The police are using less lethal weapons against both of them. But I do have to, you know, you do have to call things out critically. And I do believe more than other times, the left is kind of more out there than the right. I mean, there's even people on the left saying that Bernie Sanders is not really left wing anymore. That's the topic of discussion happening right now. Those things do have to be called out. I definitely do see more clashes like we saw in Portland happening sometime in September and in August and November. I don't see anything else major happening within the next 2 months here in the United States. And it will definitely pick up during the elections, during the big presidential elections. There's going to be a lot of people facing off. There's going to be, you know, more street clashes, more fights, more incivility, more dumbassness. But I don't think it will escalate to a civil war, even though a lot of people willingly or unwillingly are trying to get it there. Jason, we also have some super chats. I'm looking at the chat. There's a lot of Jewish talk in the chat. What a surprise there. But let's go over some of the super chats that we have here that help us run as an independent media organization. And we have one from Sherry saying, quote, "This is historical backstory to what we're all up against. Please watch and share. Thanks a bunch. Much love. Real secret societies. Diabli Oriental." I can't read that.
I think it's Diabli Ordinati Intrepidi.
What does that mean? Do you know what that means, Jason?
I have no idea, but maybe it's real secret societies in another language. Obviously, there's a YouTube link. Hey, go check it out, guys. I'm going to check out the link after the show. Let's see what we got. I'm always open to information, Luke.
Yeah. We got another super chat from Patrick Sugun, who says, "Luke, crew, you guys are amazing. Happy Canada Day." I had some different feelings about Canada Day that I shared on my social media that I won't share here. And then we have another super chat by Patrick again, who says she put those anti-war stuff back on her profile. Okay. Well, thanks for the update, Patrick. I didn't know that she actually put the anti-war stuff back, which is actually good to see. And I think overall, I could get the sense of why people are moving away from the establishment Democrats and moving towards more towards the Bernie Sanders candidates, like we saw the young 28-year-old win the primary here in New York. And I think it's a good sight. And I think it's even people on the right are saying it's good that people are being honest and open with their views instead of just being cryptic, instead of hiding behind establishment lines. And I think overall, you know, in my personal opinion, it's good that people are becoming somewhat more anti-establishment, even to the Democratic wing, which is, you know, just as bad as the Republican wing when it comes to being the government mafia that the U.S. government is.
Yeah, you know, the thing with that young lady is, where did she come from? I'm going to be honest, I don't know much about her, but she was very eager to put Democratic Socialist in there. You know, I don't know if that's Bernie Sanders' coattails, but she's 28 years old, and she was tending bar a year ago. For those that don't know, I quit my job running a bar to do this full time about 4 or 5 months ago. And I can tell you that most of my bartenders are not congressional material. Not that, you know, not that the bar is very highly set in Congress. And obviously, hey, running a bar, I tended bar as well. I'm not trying to, you know, be dismissive because of her previous occupation. I'm being dismissive because you don't win a Democratic primary in New York City for a congressional seat against somebody who was a 10-term establishment Democrat with very powerful people behind you and money behind you. You know, the other big upset, if you will, or someone coming out of nowhere, you did a story on Ben Jealous and David Chappelle, his godbrother, running with him out in Maryland, and he won that primary as well. Well, I can see how Ben Jealous does that with such a celebrity pushing him and campaigning with him. How did this woman do it? Where's her money coming from? And do her political alignments basically go with the money, Luke? That's what we see with most candidates, don't we?
In my personal opinion, I'd rather see a bartender than a professional lawyer, plutocrat head of the helm here, to be completely frank with you. Anyway, let's just move on. We have a new segment that we're going to be doing every Sunday show, and that's going over an important story that happens each day of the week. Jason, you selected this week's picks. Can you go over what was the story that you picked for Monday that happened that you wanted to cover?
Well, the first one was QAnon coming out and saying, or not QAnon, sorry, WikiLeaks coming out against QAnon. Now, people were demanding we talk about QAnon probably for the last 6 months. Why are you covering it up? You know, before I went full time, I remember you sending me a link to a girl who had a PDF page, and you're like, have you heard about this? Will you check this out? And so I did. And I was like, Luke, man, I don't know. I'm looking at some of this stuff, and it's from like a year and a half ago. It seems very open-ended. And we never bought into the hype, ever. You know, we reported on some other people talking about it. We reported on what they did, but we were never like, we got to decode the next Q map. So WikiLeaks, who has never been wrong, okay, when I say wrong, they've never published a document, Luke, that has been false. They've never put what I like to call propaganda out there. They're putting out raw documentation and then allowing the people to check that out themselves. WikiLeaks said QAnon pushes for regime change in Iran, mirroring long-held CIA, Mossad, and neocon goals. Correct. So why are they trusting the plan, Luke? I thought that this was absolutely 100% insanity.
I mean, there's a number of things that keep happening. And I'm seeing all the comments, and I'm seeing so many people get so mad at me because from the beginning, people are sending me all this Q stuff. Man, you got to look at Q. You got to look at Q. You got to look at Q. And I'm like, I don't even want to look. I'm like, Jason, go take a look at this, man. Let me know what you think about this, man. I'm like busy. I'm not traveling. It's difficult trying to do, 5 videos a week. It's a lot of work, especially when you're trying to, you know, do it independently. And then you looked at it, you were like, it's crap. And then I'm like, yeah, whatever. And then I keep getting more messages and more messages and more messages. And I'm like, all right, fine, I'll take a look at this. There's like, we talked about it. We're like, okay, this is ridiculous. And we told everyone, like, guys, this is utter crap. QAnon came with this new information. And we looked at it and we were like, no, that's bullcrap. And then we called it out again. And then we called it out again. And everyone's getting mad at me, calling me a big nose Pinocchio shill. And now I think we finally have that moment where it's like, slap back yourself back into reality. Like, yeah, it's a total LARP. It's people are saying it's CIA. I think it's just someone just messing with everyone.
Luke, I talked to QAnon. I talked to him. I know who he is. Listen, Jerome Corsi was on the toilet taking a deuce in D.C., and I got a text message that said that there was a hot chili bowl in the back of the office. I went there. I saw it. Under the chili bowl was an unmarked cell phone where I was directly contacted by Q. And I can tell you that we need to trust the plan. Trump 2020.
Yeah. Yeah, and remember those videos? He was telling everyone, like, I talked to Q, man. I talked to Q. It's real. It's legitimate. We got trust the plan, man. And I'm like, what are you, like, how can you say you talked to Q when the messages are so cryptic and so idiotic in the beginning, in the first place? But I think now finally, the messages stopped. people, there's still people saying Luke Gadowski exposed, we are sellouts. People are still mad at me about this. But it's a lot less than it was before, and I think now everyone's realizing, oh yeah, Q calling for regime change in Iran, which is a topic we're going to talk about at the end of this video anyway, and Trump continuing that plan, is a little bit too establishment. If he's supposed to be this anti-establishment figure calling for a neoconservative wet dream that war hawks within the U.S. intelligence agencies have been trying to commit for the last few decades. Nothing says anti-establishment like trying to get their actual goals accomplished. So I think finally we could put this to rest. I think finally we could stop talking about Q, hopefully. We'll see. All right, let's move on. Tuesday, what was the article that you picked for Tuesday, Jason?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Luke, again, we have another really important article that we saw. The Intercept broke this story, and the Daily Mail followed up on it. Everybody else, no, you know, CNN, not so worried. MSNBC, not so worried. Fox News, they're not trying to tell you about the towering NSA spy hubs hidden in plain sight in cities across the country. And by the way, eight of these, Luke, are AT&T spy facilities, like the ones that I exposed in Invisible Empire, a movie we put out in 2010 from a case of Hepting versus AT&T from 2004 that drug on and on and on and got thrown out, where a man working the server rooms for AT&T said, hey, by the way, I have to work in these other rooms where we split off all the information, and that all that information goes directly to the NSA. And then 20 plus people filed into this court case, and guess what? Nothing was done, and it's barely even spoken about. And you look at these locations, it's like, oh yeah, we got one on South Canal over at Chicago. Here's our Seattle location. Old Frisco isn't being left out. We got the LA, Dallas, Atlanta, Washington, and of course, in your neighborhood, 811th 10th Avenue in New York City. So these are just the spy hubs we know about. We know there are secret intelligence bases everywhere throughout this country. But if you believe this is just for foreign enemies, Luke, the Brooklyn Bridge is for sale, and you can get it by purchasing it through my PayPal account.
People in the comment section are saying the 5G towers are coming to give you cancer for free. And obviously this story highlights a very important issue that you're not going to hear in the U.S. mainstream media. You can't trust the corporatocracy. When it comes to Google, when it comes to Amazon, when it comes to YouTube, all of these organizations, especially major organizations and private, supposedly private corporations who are not really private, are collaborating and colluding with the government against you. As we knew from the Snowden leaks, the NSA spying program was not about stopping terrorists. It was about mass data collection. We had people within the NSA come out, whistleblow, and say, we could have prevented many terrorist attacks if we had targeted surveillance against key suspects. They didn't do that. They want power and control and dirt on individuals who question their power structure. The police state grid is being built all around you, and you idiots are fighting each other with Keck shields and stupid bats. Like, this is the thing that pisses me off, because this is an actual issue of concern that's being censored, as alternative media, as even the cryptocurrency space, are being censored online and totally whitelisted away from you. But what's being highlighted and pushed to you is all the things that make you fight against each other. Meanwhile, the prison walls are literally being built all around us. And this is a story that needs to get out there. People should boycott AT&T. People should boycott pretty much, not just AT&T, pretty much, you can't trust anybody. You can't trust anybody, which brings us into Wednesday's story, which is another example. You can't trust anyone.
Anybody, Luke. And this story is extremely disturbing. You know, this is just the local story. This gets a lot bigger. New York advocate for child sex abuse survivors arrested, accused of child sex abuse. Now, this guy campaigned for Hillary Clinton. He protested Mike Cernovich. And what he's being accused of is trying to set up, I don't even want to say it, but let's just say things with a two-year-old, Luke. Oh my God.
Yeah. It was extremely disturbing and definitely not worth even mentioning the sick, horrible, demented, corrupted, abusive things that this monster wanted to do. But this story gets me utterly just so angry, and there's no even comments for it. We're not going to talk about the exact details of it because they're too disturbing to even bring up.
Yeah, but look where he had embedded himself. He had embedded himself in a place, Luke, where he was around children all the time. I think that's a huge, huge problem, where he was around political power. You know, this is a young guy. He's 23, I believe. You know what I mean? This guy's in his early 20s. And again, he's embedding himself with the Democratic Party, embedding himself with the Hillary Clinton campaign, embedding himself with abused children so he can get access to them. And unfortunately, this is a pattern. You know, Jimmy Savile was a child advocate. He was taking big checks from Margaret Thatcher for abuse victims. So we see this pattern that, you know, listen, a lot of people do great work, Luke. I'm not saying you should be suspicious of every social worker, of every child, abuse advocate. The majority of them are there to help. But some of those demons embed themselves to have access to children. And, you know, for a guy that's, you know, currently raising his sister's kids, it's gut-wrenching to even think about.
Yeah, you have to understand the kind of psychology of these psychopaths. And it's very difficult for a lot of people to conceive because a lot of people don't envision themselves doing these horrible things. But there are people out there that you should worry about. And a lot of times these professional psychopaths position themselves in a position that is the exact opposite of what they portray themselves as in order to get access to children. So a lot of sick and disturbing details here. And again, you know, there's been so many stories, and it's, you know, there's even the Terry Crews story that I talked about a little bit in my last video on this YouTube channel. This extremely, extremely disturbing, just abuse at the worst levels that human beings could ever commit against each other. Just vampire, energetic, stealing, horrible monsters. Let's move on, definitely, from that horrible story. Before we get into Thursday's story, someone left a comment saying, Luke, why do you block Super Chats? No, we don't block Super Chats. We actually got another one by Avataz, who said, that chick in New York only got like 16,000 votes. Who cares? I think that's an interesting point that you brought up there, Avataz. But it did show a very significant shift of people moving away from the establishment Democratic lines and openly accepting a Democratic socialist. And and I'm always very skeptical whenever people think the government is the solution.
And Luke, 16,000 votes, bro, but you know how many hours on television so far? How much is the media? Like, all right, 16,000 votes. I guarantee she's been on the TV more than 16,000 minutes, maybe even 16,000 hours at this point nationally. She was part of the media cycle for a good 3 or 4 days where you could not, you know, turn the television on without seeing her face.
And so, the media is portraying this as this like amazing thing. This is really great. And then this is really good. Government's going to help you. More government's great. And I'm like, coming from my family's history growing up in communism in Poland. No. Pretty much. If there's anything on the mainstream media that's being pushed or promoted, usually it's best to be skeptical of it. So that's always my point of view. What's Thursday's story, Jason?
Well, in these rough economic times, Luke, you can't live in the Bay Area of California. It's gorgeous in the Bay. Come on down. You know, we love lovely in the Bay. Families earning $117,000 a year qualify as low income. That means they can get social assistance. Think about that. That means your kid's teacher, Luke, okay, can't afford to live in the school district where your kid goes. And God knows what you're doing to make a living and your husband's doing. I mean, forget about a one-income family. That's going to be rare with $117,000. But the fact that now, I mean, we're not even talking about $80,000. We're talking about well over $100,000 a year, and that's low income in California. I think that speaks a lot to why some people choose not to live in large urban or city-like areas because the cost of living becomes ridiculous in a rather short period of time. We didn't have these problems in the 80s or even in the early 90s, Luke.
Yeah, and the control grid is just getting more obscene. I mean, even just being here in New York City, I question my rationality even just being here. Everywhere you drive, there's red light cameras, speed cameras, police officers stopping, pulling you over. It's almost like a total police state. It's a total control grid, and the best way to control a population is to get them into debt. And that's exactly what is happening to the majority of Americans. The majority of Americans are having a hard time getting by paycheck to paycheck, so they get into debt. They get into servitude. And there's no better population to control than those who are in debt. So again, this is going along with the plans of the kind of globalists who just want to utterly control everyone. As we're still, you know, going through planned obsolescence and buying shiny crap and being socially manufactured to hate the fellow man instead of looking up at the control of the whole system, the whole fractional reserve banking system, the whole corporatocracy, the whole establishment, the whole game being rigged against us in every format of our life. Yeah, don't look at that. No, that's not important. Let's talk about what we want you to think, what we want you to believe. And this is what even Mika Brzezinski of MSNBC said. We're here to tell you what to believe in. And that's our job. Screw you. No. No, I totally disagree with that. All right, Friday. Do we have Friday now?
Yeah, right? We're up to our next story, and this one is a bizarre one, Luke. This one is about as weird as it gets. Scientists are now growing Neanderthal mini brains in the lab, and not only that, that would be weird enough, right? That'd be a little bit weird. No, they're going to put them into small crab-like robots, and they're going to call them Neanderdroids. Now, I want to say right now that I'm a little bit skeptical, Luke, that any of this is actually going to work or what exactly they're doing. Who knows? You know what I'm saying? Like, again, I'm not quite sure how this is going to occur, what, you know, DNA they've used to kind of recreate these brains. But I think it also brings up a moral conundrum that now we're trying to create artificial life that may have consciousness, and we're going to put them in a crab bot. That's pretty crazy stuff. Like I was talking to you before, you know, where are the dinosaurs? Can't we just have Jurassic World first? Can't we remake the woolly mammoth that I was promised? I think China said they were going to do that like 10 years ago. I'd be a lot more comfortable with that type of bioengineering other than basically cyborgs created from Neanderthal brains and crab-like mini-bots.
Yeah, that's my reaction. Like, things used to surprise me. This doesn't even surprise me anymore, to be honest, Jason. You have to say that again, just so I didn't even get it the first time you said it. Say that again.
Yeah, so everybody understands what they're claiming they're going to be doing is in a lab, they're going to take apparently DNA from our ancient ancestors, the Neanderthals. I know there are some people out there that, you know, we didn't evolve from Neanderthals, whatever, man. But they're claiming that they're making...
I don't think we did.
I have big problems with macroevolution as well. I think microevolution is a reality. Macroevolution is not. It's a problem. So now we're going to have these quote-unquote human-like mini-brains, okay? And then we're just going to put them in a little bot. That's scary to me, man. That's like step one of Westworld to me. You know what I mean? Like, that's step one of us losing our humanity, to be honest with you. Listen, technology can empower us. I'm all for the cyborg arms. I'm all for that kind of limbs. I'm all for people being able to see again through, you know, cybernetic eyepieces. That's great. Okay, thank you. That's empowering humanity. Tell me how growing mini Neanderthal brains and putting them in crab bots is empowering humanity whatsoever. In fact, I would say that's taking us a step towards the enslavement end, Luke.
Oh, yeah, especially when you look at the development of artificial intelligence and the consequences of that and the potential of that, especially with a lot of prominent figures coming out saying that it's going to be the next nuclear weapon. And it is. And we're virtually playing God here, and it's pretty dumb. Friday. What were we talking about Friday?
Saturday. This is Saturday. We're up here, and this one's kind of a bombshell. New York Post, I know it's a little tabloidy. They're not very honest all the time, Luke. But this is the headline. Clinton White House was a den of coke mistresses, ex-Secret Service officer says. Now, when I first saw this headline without seeing the picture of the Secret Service officer, Luke, I assumed it was the guy that you see, you know, on Breitbart all the time. I think he's on InfoWars all the time. He was a Secret Service, I believe, for Hillary Clinton several times. That's not him. I've never seen this guy in my life. I believe this is a guy named Gary Byrne, and he is making some pretty big claims in this book that I do not believe is published yet. We're going to scroll down and take a look at that cover right here. Crisis of Character by Gary J. Byrne. And again, man, he's blowing the whistle. We've known about the cocaine for a long time. Again, that's an invisible empire. I've got Bill Clinton's brother sitting there getting busted in a coke deal in Arkansas saying, "Gotta get some for my brother. He's got a nose like a vacuum cleaner." That's a quote from his brother. Jennifer Flowers, who was his mistress while he was governor, rode around in limousines doing, you know, line after line after line with Bill Clinton and has been very vocal about that. The mainstream media ignores all these things. Can you imagine if Trump was a coke monkey? The mainstream media would have been blowing that up all over the place. They would have been like, "Cokey Trump," and, you know, "Somebody's on the slopes with skiing," and they would have been all over him. Yet it is never mentioned in the mainstream media that Bill Clinton has a nose like a vacuum cleaner for the rich man's aspirin.
That's very articulate of you, Jason. And what do you expect for someone coming from Mena, Arkansas, and the scandals that happened there with the CIA, Iran-Contra, and drug smuggling operations that have been just blown up and just found to be utter realities in this world? So not a surprise to me. Still, the relevance of it, it's still very clickbaity. I'm like, whatever, he does a lot of coke.
I guess he
sleeps around. It's like that doing a coke and sleeping around, that's the least of our worries when it comes to these elected officials, to be honest with you, with the horrible crimes that they commit. Now, of course, a lot of people are going to be paying attention to this because it's very sensational, but like, not a surprise here. Most, you know, there's even a recent study showing how most psychopaths are pretty much living in Washington, D.C. So what do you expect me if they have abusive behavior? Just like their actions are very abusive against the world, like we have seen President Bill Clinton commit against many countries all over the world. So, and in a related topic about presidents committing horrible atrocities against other countries, we, of course, are going to talk about the next subject. And that is a lot of Trump's inner circle, Rudy Giuliani and Newt Gingrich, calling for regime change in Iran at a rally that was previously linked to an extremist group. This is a very important story that broke just a few days ago. And again, Giuliani Gingrich spoke with an Iranian opposition group at the same time as Donald Trump is still keeping up with the status quo foreign policy that was formulated before him, that he is continuing like all the good presidents before him, and that, of course, is regime change in Iran. We have seen snippets of that being promoted in the U.S. mainstream media about protests that are happening in Iran again. Again, anything in the mainstream media you should be skeptical about. But if we're looking at Q and following the plan, Donald Trump is following the plan, but it's not the plan that you think it is. It's the plan of the war hawks and neoconservatives and the military-industrial complex that has an invested interest in getting us into war since it means more profits for them. And that's exactly what Donald Trump is doing with Iran. And it doesn't look good for the country. And I definitely expect Iran to be a major focus and a major topic of discussion when Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump will meet in just a few days ago in Northern Europe. So that's going to be a very important story that we're going to be covering closely here on this YouTube channel. Any comments on that, Jason?
Yeah, the organization is literally called the Mujahideen-e-Khalik. And if anybody knows what the Mujahideen is, that is the precursor to al-Qaeda. Okay, the Mujahideen are radical Muslims. And on top of that, these guys were paid heftily. Gingrich, Giuliani, they're taking some of that Iranian kickback money on top of promoting war with Iran, on top of promoting regime change. They're taking dollar bills by these groups. You know, it's a hefty sum for them to come speak. it's not looking good, brother. You know, I really think people don't understand that 80 million citizens in Iran is a lot different than going after even Syria. You know, Syria's about 20 plus million. It's a big operation. And we're not just talking morally, Luke, because obviously you and I don't want to see military conflict there and people dying. But we go into that region, there is going to be some pushback. We're going to lose some soldiers. There's going to be, you think Iraq was a disaster and trying to clean up that mess? You have no idea what we would be in for if people like Rudy Giuliani, Newt Gingrich, John Bolton, neocon extraordinaires get their way.
Well, Giuliani and Newt Gingrich are confidants of Donald Trump. And it does look like, especially in the Middle East, that Donald Trump is following the plan. But the neoconservative plan that has been set decades ago and is being followed by all the presidents before him. And even though you say, Jason, that you know it's going to be really horrible for U.S. soldiers there, I don't think it will be, because it will be horrible for the world. It will be horrible for a lot of people in Iran. Saudi Arabia is definitely going to become the main power there, which is not a good thing, since they're the major promoters of Wahhabism. They're the major promoters of radical Islamic terrorism all over the world, building schools and mosques that promote that very dangerous ideology, which I wish Trump supporters would finally grasp and understand and hold Donald Trump's feet to the fire when it comes to enabling, promoting, and weaponizing Saudi Arabia, instead of holding them accountable for the majority of the terrorist attacks that actually happen in this world. Iran, who is mainly Shia, has, you know, also their difficulties and also their problems as a country. But for me, the next wars are not going to be fought with soldiers. They're definitely going to be fought with robotics, with drones, and, of course, artificial intelligence, which brings us to the next story, which is also connected to Iran, since Iran is a big partner with China. Ever since the United States and Donald Trump decided to end the Iran nuclear deal, China stepped in and said, you know what, we'll work with you economically, and they have been for a very long time. And it's definitely a de facto alliance between Iran and China. And China really is one of the biggest threats against U.S. hegemony. And I think this is an issue that is really being underreported, not really spoken about much, because China is slowly and surely becoming the dominant power in the world. And historically speaking, whenever you have one country or one mafia or one gang threatening the control and dominance of another gang, there usually is a war. So we're seeing that. We're seeing a lot of rhetoric. We're seeing a lot of hyperbolic rhetoric. We're seeing a lot of fear-mongering. But this is something that I do believe should be talked about rationally, and something that is definitely worth considering for the people of the United States and the people of the world, because this has very dire consequences. As we're seeing, a very hawkish group, the Center for the New American Security, who works with a lot of insiders from the Joint Chiefs of Staffs, Deputy Secretary of Defenses, talking about that China will have the first strike capabilities using artificial intelligence. And this is, of course, U.S. officials warning of us with this. We saw the United States set up missile defense systems in Hawaii, upgrading them. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, this is predominantly for China, which is expanding their military, which is setting up very important military bases in the South Asia Sea among major trading routes, since historically most of the wars have been fought along the trading routes. And this is an issue that I want to cover carefully, because I don't want to sound too sensational. I don't want to fearmonger. But it is true that China is developing and investing a lot more than the United States in artificial intelligence. And having these two countries being the boogeyman of each other helps them galvanize this horrible pathway in our civilization and our existence, where we're literally trying to develop godlike powers in order to establish more power for individual countries. And that is absolutely terrifying. especially if you look at the potential of artificial intelligence. We talked about it a little bit earlier in this broadcast. I've been talking about it for a very long time. We have seen Vladimir Putin say the country that will dominate artificial intelligence will dominate the entire world. We saw a lot of warnings from Elon Musk, a lot of other people in the tech industry warn us about artificial intelligence. But I do believe that this is a fear-mongering comment from within U.S. officials to galvanize more military spending, even though already the United States spends more on the military than any other country in the world, more than the next seven countries combined before them. But this is something that I do believe should be talked about, should be moved, you know, it should be something that should make people question the legitimacy of government, since the governments are doing this. And it highlights the next article that we're talking about, where the headline is "The Pentagon's AI Surge on Track Despite Google Protest." And this is an article talking about how Google is working with the U.S. military industrial complex, with the U.S. Pentagon, in developing cutting edge projects that, of course, are going to help bring in the technocracy. And already China is a step ahead of that, especially with their social credit scoring and ranking that they have there, which is utterly terrifying and should scare the crap out of everyone. And you know, these lunatic, psychopathic governments are really putting us in an extremely difficult situation that I don't like being in, Jason.
Absolutely. And if you look at this headline, it says that the Pentagon's AI surge on track despite Google protests. And that's something we have covered here in the last few weeks, where Google got together and said, hey, man, you know what? We have thousands of people that are working here, Luke, and we're signing this petition because we're sick of designing artificial intelligence for the military drone program. They thought it was dangerous. Google's like, nah. And then the emails leak. Oh, we're going to make this so it's up to $250 million a year in profit within the next 5 to 10 years, and then it's exponential from there. Well, a handful of those people that signed that documentation, Luke, they decided to leave. They actually went balls to the wall and said, we're quitting. But when you have companies like Google doing this, when you have Jeff Bezos selling facial recognition software to law enforcement, this is the new trend. These large tech companies have now partnered with the government to create a system that I don't see how it empowers humanity at all. It only empowers the state and those who control these large corporate entities.
Well, it's creating the next nuclear weapon. There is the next arms race, and it's happening with artificial intelligence, and people need to realize this. There's no good place to be in this. China is developing their artificial intelligence. They understand the power that this new nuclear weapon will have on human civilization, and it's not a good one, especially in the hands of the Chinese. So the United States is answering back, saying, okay, we're going to develop worse weapons. But they're stuck in a catch-22 because of this kind of cult of government that is bringing us to a very bad place. And we always have been warning you about the technocracy. We always been warning you about artificial intelligence. It is something that does need to be taken seriously. It does need to be a worldwide issue. This should be the main issue concerning everyone, not the distractions that they put out there in the U.S. mainstream media. Which brings us to the last story, where the local government in California wants to create a fake news advisory group that they are considering establishing. And of course, this law that they're trying to push into place in California, of all places. Oh, surprise, California trying to set up new laws. Oh, who would have thought that they're so judicial? It gets me so angry, like living in like these places and seeing this everything happen here. Now, they had a whole bunch of revisions to this story, but my whole reaction is no. The whole fake news propaganda term was originally used to criticize small independent journalists who were threatening the U.S. mainstream media. It backfired on them, but they're still using this term as a way to predominantly go after the small people, go after, you know, a lot, and censor and shut down a lot of press that's not controlled by them. Because who is the ultimate decider of truth? Is it going to be the government? And if the government's deciding what the truth is, you could bet your bottom dollar you're not going to hear any of our opinions, any of our topics, any of the stories that we talk about. We're going to get blacklisted and censored. And we already are in the soft censorship that is happening. There's a number of videos that I tried to look up on Google, on Google and on YouTube search that I previously did before. They don't even come up anymore. That's a whole new another soft censorship that they're using against people like us, people like the Corbett Report, other people who question the establishment lines. There's been hardline censorships. There's been people banned. There's been channels deleted. There's obviously demonetization. This video is automatically demonetized. Every video we do is automatically demonetized. We've been targeted and hit with the latest censorship before anyone else, which probably has a lot to do with us confronting Eric Schmidt at Bilderberg in Switzerland. And ever since then, our Gmail and YouTube accounts haven't been the same. So overall, no, the government shouldn't be the decider of truth. This is what they want. This is what they're getting anyway with the soft censorship, with the technocrats, with the big social media companies, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, all working with the U.S. government and the Pentagon and the military-industrial complex. So yeah, we're screwed.
I don't know that we're screwed, Luke. You know, we don't need a Ministry of Information, and we don't need a fake news advisory group. Give me a break. Listen, there's always been mechanisms in place for people that lie about other people in public and cause libel. They can be sued, and then they lose the lawsuit, and they often lose big chunks of their media organization or money after they've lied. And the bottom line is, the mainstream media are the biggest liars out there. Where are the apologies for weapons of mass destruction? Never happened. Where are the retractions?
Yeah, news organizations should be stripped down, run naked through Broadway for lying and causing the deaths of millions of people and helping cultivate the rise of ISIS. You would think that's something that people should be held accountable for, or even helping engineer the financial crisis and cover up and give the bankers the bailouts during the last financial crisis that happened, that is still looming in the back because the financial crisis was never fixed. It was only paid over with more bubbles, with more debt, with more fake artificial money that's not even there anymore, and is just waiting for people to realize, hey, this whole economic system is just based on utter lies and complete debt. And that's why we're in debt for $21 trillion. I could just keep going on and on. Sorry, cut you off, Jason. Finish up.
No, that's not cutting me off at all. The truth of the matter is, Luke, like, when I hear about fake news, I just think about news because I don't trust it. You know, one of the big things that we saw with Sinclair Broadcasting was the piece about fake news being reported on by the media, but then they parroted it 100 times off a script. You can see there is a narrative that the media has tried to control for so long. They still don't want to tell you the truth about 9/11. They're very comfortable with the fact that the man that's heading up the Russia investigation, Robert Mueller, still has 80,000 FBI documents, okay, that are classified regarding 9/11. No one's asked that, okay? The mainstream media and our government are very happy to have Mark Zuckerberg up before Congress, and no one asks him about Alphonso software or other ACR software, which is automated recognition software, where they take keywords in real time. That's how they spy on you through your phones and other devices. No one asks that question, Luke. To me, that's fake news. I want the real information, and it's only journalists like yourself going up to powerful individuals and asking a tough question that we're ever even able to expose that these questions are important or exist at all. Most people don't know the questions to ask, Luke.
Yeah, I should do more of those, even though they're making it more difficult. People in the comment section are saying, okay, seriously, guys, why is Super Chat disabled? Now, I didn't do anything on the back end. Did you do anything, Jason, on the back end? I don't think we did anything.
The only thing I can think of is that's the next YouTube jab for us. Because for those of the people that think that Luke is wrong, okay, I'm just going to tell you this. Since May 22nd, every single one of our videos gets demonetized out of the gates as soon as I hit it live. We have to do a request. And then every single one of those videos, except for one video we did this week, so a month's plus worth of videos, all got remonetized after 8,000 to 14,000 views that you can't do. These live shows, they don't get remonetized till Tuesday night or Wednesday morning. It takes 2 to 3 days. So really the only way that we're able to monetize this live stream right here is through your super chats, and we love interacting with you guys. So if YouTube just pulled that one, I guess we're gonna have to do a video about it. I mean, is that the next move? Are we no longer eligible for super chats, Luke? Are we the demon spawn from hell that must be accountable for fake news?
Well, it could be just a problem on one person's end.
Hold on, when was our last super chat? Think about it. Our last super chat was at 7:26.
I'm seeing some people complain about it, but that's okay. It's fine. It's just another jab that we're used to. We're pretty much jab-proof now. We're just going to continue doing this no matter what, even though we get screwed, but it's fine. We have to be careful. I try to make myself not complacent, because it's very easy for a lot of creators these days to be like, well, I'm just getting censored. I'm just getting screwed. And kind of lay off a lot of the hard work that happens with this. So I'm trying to have a nice balance between, like, I got to bust my ass, I got to keep doing this, and then not trying to be as affected by it, because psychologically it does hit you that, why am I even doing this if no one's even seeing it? If I'm, you know, having a hard time even paying the bills, so that's the psychological process that I'm going through. But most importantly, Jason, very important question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Any fun plans for July 4th?
You know, I'll probably spend it with the kids. We did it last year. We'll go to the park. We'll watch some fireworks. Maybe we'll barbecue. We had a little bar. Today was a great day, man. I was out by the lake. We did a little barbecue. A guy I've known for 20-plus years, his son was there. Another guy I've known 20-plus years, his little 3-year-old daughter. I'm about family. For those that don't know, those are my big moments. So if the 4th of July is anything like today, Luke, I'll be very happy. But, Luke, there was one story we skipped that you forgot that I think is important, and I think that you hit it spot on. And obviously, it has to do with the media outlet being shot up. I don't want to talk too much about it, but you posted, it took the mentally handicapped people this long to do the right thing. Well, at least you did it. And, I'm just going to show what you're talking about. In that mass shooting of that newspaper, you did not see as much coverage about the crazy person that did this. Instead, you saw the victims. And I think that's a good thing, because the more you promote the crazy person that did this, the more you promote crazy people killing innocent people. And that's a huge issue. We never want to talk about crazy. There's always got to be another reason. But this guy was obviously mentally ill. You know, the details there. He had stalked a woman for years. He had charges against him. And he decided to take innocent people's lives, which is never, ever, ever the answer, folks. And hey, CNN, we're going to give you credit. You did the right thing by not publicizing this guy and instead, giving light to the victims who,
That put a dirty taste in my mouth hearing that, Jason.
Oh, you didn't like giving CNN any credit? Any credit? Yeah. No, nothing.
Well, finally took those dumbasses long enough to figure this out, even though the mainstream media had a policy before saying we shouldn't show people running on the field during sports ball games. We shouldn't show people who disrupt professional sports, because if we do start showing them, we will motivate them to do it more often. That was an official policy that the majority of the mainstream media had. Many psychologists have been warning for decades now that the way that the U.S. mainstream media covers a lot of these tragedies motivates and inspires more psychopaths and more crazy people to commit these acts for more fame. And we saw some of these just idiotic, crazy, mentally handicapped people shoot videos before their atrocities that they committed, saying, oh, I'm going to be famous, everyone's going to be talking about me. And sadly, with a lot of these sick, demented people, that is the goal. And, okay, fine, let's give a little credit to CNN finally doing the right thing and not doing the clickbait thing, just a little bit, a little tiny bit, little bit. That's all you get. That's all you get from now. You're not getting any more from me. It's just common sense, that's a policy that we have. That's a policy that we're going to follow, and we're going to make sure we don't promote the faces and names of these crazy people, but concentrate on, the people who got hurt, which, should be the story, the people that, we're losing because of this. Looking at some chats right now in the chat room, people are saying, don't worry, you'll just eat less, you'll survive. And Xavier, yeah, you're right. We'll always survive. We'll always figure out some kind of way. We got advertisements that we're using as a way to make up for a lot of the lost revenue that we're losing. It used to be that just just doing these videos was just enough for us. But it's very, very, very difficult now. And of course, we just don't want to just stay stagnant where we are right now. There's a lot of different goals. There's a lot of different dreams I have. There's a lot of different expansion things that I want to do. People are saying I got the Bilderberg shirt. We also got T-shirts on teesprings.com, which is usually available in the link of the description in our videos. So thank you so much for buying T-shirts and representing the truth out there and wearing it proudly. What else are you guys saying in the comment section below? So, yeah, July 4th is coming up. I'm going to celebrate by getting a Chinese-made American flag, get some GMO chili cheese dogs, going through the crowds of huge people with the freedom checkpoints that they have established here over New York City, and probably drink some fluoride beer and just go off into a mass delusion and escape from reality as we watch things blow up.
Well, that's nice of you, Luke. And while we watch things blow up, because they sometimes do, I'd like to go invite people to go check out preparewithwearechange.com. Although we don't think that there's a disaster coming, we always think it's good to be prepared. And this is one of the things that does fund us when they cut off our super chats. So again, we don't think the end of the world is here. I want to let everybody know, but we do know that disasters like the one in Puerto Rico, Hawaii do happen. Earthquakes do happen. And it's never bad to have a plan. You get a 4-week emergency of supply for only
$99. You need to do this. You need to do a Jones impression.
What? What? Listen, I've had them for dinner, and they're absolutely delicious. Okay.
Do they have the chili bowl?
They got the chili bowl.
But in all seriousness, guys, we're never going to get behind something that's complete bunk. This, again, we're not telling you to buy five. We're saying, hey, it's never bad to have a plan. Emergencies do happen. It's $99. It helps us out, and it'll help you out. That's a great price. So go check it out. Preparewithwearechange.com. Luke, again, it sucks that this is happening to us, but like you said, it doesn't matter if, you know, at this point, I've got this great computer because of you guys. We've got this broadcasting software, and if I never make another nickel on these videos again, you're still going to see me somewhere. If I get banned from YouTube, check out Vimeo. If that's not an option, I guess, you know, I'll have to get a Snapchat account. I hate Snapchat, but I'll go there. Instagram has a new video service. In fact, you know, not to promote Pornhub, but a lot of people who do firearms videos have now moved their stuff there because it's one of the few places that they won't be censored. So there is always another venue, and there's always another way to submit information to people. Steam it, DTube, we're all over that stuff. And it's only by you guys that are watching this program, sharing this information, sharing these links, that we are going to be able to spread this information.
Amen, Jason. I definitely agree with you. We're not going away anytime soon. There's a lot of things in our way, but that never has stopped us before. It's always been a turbulent ride, but it's always at least interesting. And we kind of make our own destiny. We kind of make our own life. And I'm happy in the direction that we're going. I'm happy in the overall life, you know, that I have. There's nothing really to complain about, because the more you kind of complain about it, the more you kind of manifest it and build it up. But it is important to address some of these issues. It's important to have these conversations. It's important to just move forward confidently. And, you know, worst comes to worst, we'll go back to the old days, giving out flyers and DVDs in the street. If we have to go there, we'll go there. The truth eventually always comes out. Historically speaking, everything always comes around. So I always have full faith in that. I'm still always an optimist. It's not always easy doing this, but I'm happy I'm not doing this alone. Thank you, Jason, for joining me on this broadcast. Anything else you want to say?
You know, I just want to let people know that we got some great interviews coming up this week. We were able to interview the artist behind the giant 800-pound heroin spoon and the gallery owner that was arrested by putting that in front of Purdue Pharmaceuticals, the lead producer of OxyContin. I don't want to ruin too much of it because nobody in, you know, the media covered it, but they're not giving these guys their due. So that's something We Are Change is going to bring you this week. And we were actually able to track down the protester who put a picture of Jeffrey Epstein and Donald Trump together right in his face. And if you watch we posted that video on on the Facebook page. And if you look at Trump's face for those 2 minutes, he is not a happy camper that someone has a picture of him and Epstein. So just more great stuff to come. I know, Luke, you know, we talked about Civil War in the beginning. There's that, you know, white civil rights rally coming up in D.C. in August. I'm sure we're going to have on-the-ground coverage there. And, you know, again, folks, just let us know what you think the big stories are, the ones that the mainstream media are missing, and we're going to cover them here at We Are Change.
Yeah, I'll definitely be there for that one in August. Don't forget to message me and give me your tips on Twitter. Twitter is usually the best way to get in contact with me, twitter.com/LukeWeAreChange, Luke We Are Change on Twitter. Let me know what stories and interesting investigations you want me to go through. Let me know if there's any politicians or any major political events that I could sneak into and confront. And make politicians face the truth. Let me know what you want to see me do, and we will most likely do it if it's along our core values and principles. So again, thank you, Jason, and of course, thank you all you beautiful and amazing human beings for joining us on this live broadcast. Again, we are live every single Sunday, usually around 7 p.m. Eastern. Stay tuned, subscribe, click the notification button for no reason at all, and we'll be back here next Sunday. Love you guys.